How are the banks doing? Depends who you ask.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's been more than 4 years since the giant investment bank Bear Stearns collapsed, and the banking system is still in trouble. That's the word from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, who said last night that large banks need substantially more capital to ensure a safe financial system. Now, you probably won't hear anything like that from the banks themselves when they start reporting their quarterly earnings this week. Bank stocks have been soaring recently, as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports from New York.
2012 has been a banner year for big banks. Bank of America stock is up 60%, which means it outperformed Apple. Ken Thomas is a bank consultant and economist.
A lot of the earnings being reported by the big banks are coming not from traditional earnings, but from loan loss reserves.
Loan loss reserves are the money banks stockpiled during the financial crisis to cover all of their bad mortgage loans. Now banks are releasing some of that money.
A loan loss reserve is like a cookie jar. When the economy improves, banks can take money out of the cookie jar, which counts as income.
Bank profits this quarter are more like a sugar high than real income, says NYU economist Lawrence White. He says the actual business of banking isn't as profitable as it used to be.
I just am unsure about how strong the banks are. I still worry that there are lurking losses in mortgages.
White says if the banks aren't careful, they could find that when they really need a cookie, the jar is empty. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Facebook is making its biggest purchase yet as it prepares to go public. The company is buying the photo sharing app Instagram for $1 billion. Marketplace's Eve Tro is here now to give us a snapshot. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us what Instagram is.
Well, Instagram is a photo app, basically, for your iPhone or, just added last week, your Android phone. It gives your pictures these vintagey film look that people totally love. And here's the big part. People love sharing those cell phone photos on sites like Twitter, Flickr, Tumblr, or, yes, Facebook. So it makes what you're doing and who you're with look cooler. But it's a tiny company. Less than 20 people work there. So a picture's worth 1,000 words, as they say, but is Instagram really worth $1 billion?
Yeah, well, that is the big question I've seen asked in the last 24 hours. Why would Facebook want to pay so much for this startup?
So Facebook pretty much owns the online social media space, but it does not own the mobile phone space. I talked to Chris Green this morning in London. He's a tech analyst with the Davies Murphy Group.
The Facebook mobile app really hasn't engaged with users. Instagram is potentially a route into rehabilitating that and extending the Facebook reach much more effectively.
So people love using Instagram on their phones. Some people say Facebook snapped up Instagram to keep anyone else from buying it. Remember Google buying YouTube?
Yep.
But Chris Green says he doesn't think so. He thinks Facebook is showing potential investors that it's going to get serious about this mobile business before the IPO in a few months. He also says Instagram is about location. Facebook is hoping people geotag their photos so advertisers know exactly where they are and they can sell them something.
Marketplace's Eve Tro, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down again today in global trading, down 0.6% in London and Frankfurt, more than 1% in Paris. More fears about a slowdown in China this morning after the country reported it had a trade surplus in March, largely because the Chinese bought less stuff from other countries. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 130 points, about 1%, to close at 12,929.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
This Sunday is the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. The ship was built in Belfast in what is now Northern Ireland. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, Belfast is hoping it'll become the center of Titanic tourism.
The first thing you learn from your guide on the bus tour of the Titanic shipyard, Belfast is not to blame for the world's best-known maritime disaster.
We handed our ship over to an English captain, a Scottish navigator, and a Canadian iceberg. The Irish will take the blame for nothing. Thank you.
In fact, almost everyone you speak to here is immensely proud of the ill-fated liner, and that includes Susie Miller, whose great-grandfather was a member of the crew and went down with the ship.
Titanic herself was a wonderful piece of engineering, and that's something we should be proud of. And the other industries and commerce that was happening here in Belfast 100 years ago. So it's about looking back to that confidence that we had and trying to be inspired by it.
And unashamedly trying to make money out of the Titanic connection.
Connor, table of two Titanic salmon course just away.
The Rayanne Guest House is one of a number of Belfast businesses to adopt a Titanic theme. Connor McClelland is the head chef and owner.
We created a 9-course version of the last meal that was served to the first class passengers on board the Titanic on April the 14th, the last night.
A somewhat macabre idea, you might think, but the roast pigeon and summer truffles have already attracted hundreds of diners, even at $100 a pop.
The menu is beautiful. It's a naturally beautiful menu. It eats really well and flows really well.
But will Titanic tourism be a recipe for economic success for the whole city? Alan Clark, head of the Northern Ireland Tourism Board, clearly believes so.
That legacy of Titanic and that world brand will carry through for the long term and actually drive sustainable tourism growth here long term.
The UK government thinks so too. It's pumped tens of millions of dollars into a shiny new Titanic visitor attraction here. Among other things, it shows this film of the discovery of the sunken ship. Not for the first time, the hope is that a shipwreck will yield untold riches. In Belfast, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, there are already cable news programs called The Situation Room and The War Room. What about The Oval Office? Well, now it's here. Sort of. Conservative TV host Glenn Beck has apparently built an exact replica of the Oval Office for his show on his online network, GBTV. He'll be using the set for weekly speeches about the things he wishes the president would say to the American people. A spokesperson for his channel says the speeches will be, quote, Reagan-esque. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.